Hi, good morning. Great to be with you again this morning on Sunday, on our Sunday live stream. Hope you're all okay, had a reasonable week. Special hi to those of you who are in self-isolation or, you know, not well or got loved ones and not well. Great to have you with us. Great to have you with us if you're a key worker and you're on a rest day today and you're choosing to be with us today. It's really great to have you with us as well. Lord bless you. And I pray that today, you know, we'll really be blessed in the time that we have together and that the Lord will really meet us. Just a quick sorry for last week. I think I broadcast on the wrong place. I broadcast on my own page rather than the River of Life. So a few of you had trouble finding us. So sorry about that if you did. It'd be really nice to know that I'm in the right place now and that a few of you can hear me and see what's going on. It's always helpful just to know that there's a few of you out there and I'm getting it right. So yeah, it'd be really, really helpful as well. So brilliant. Hi, Kim. Yeah, good to see you. And that's great. Brilliant. Thank you. Just to say as well, Wendy's not with me this morning. Sorry, I'm on my own again this morning. And, you know, Wendy's not with me. So I hear you all say, but or maybe not. Wendy's at work. You know, Wendy's a nurse. Many of you know Wendy's a nurse. So she has to take her fair share of shifts on a Sunday morning, so this morning she's at work, so sure she'd appreciate your prayers for her at work and obviously the way that things are in terms of nursing and stuff at the moment. So yeah, brilliant, great. Okay, well, should we just pray for a moment? We're just going to do sort of similar sort of things this morning. I'm going to share a few thoughts. We're going to pray together, and then later on we'll break bread together as well, as towards the end of our time together this morning. And we'll see what else we do as well this morning. So let's just pray as we start, shall we, this morning. Brilliant. Great. Excellent. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord. Thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. Thank you that you allow us, Lord, in one sense, to connect in this way, God. Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that although we're not physically in the same room together, that we would sense that sense of unity amongst us, that sense of connection. And in particular, Lord, we want to pray for your presence to be with us this morning, Lord. Lord, we want to pray that, Lord, as we share thoughts together, Lord, and as we pray and as we break bread, that, Lord, we would know that you are in those things. And that, God, we will come away from this time strengthened, blessed, encouraged, and ready to be all that you want us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Okay, so I don't know, this time last week I looked out the window and it was snowing. And now we look outside the window and it's glorious sunshine. And just as I was thinking that this morning, thinking, you know, how quickly things change, don't they? How quickly we can, you know, one minute is freezing, the next minute it's glorious sunshine. And I guess that in itself is a word of encouragement in this season, isn't it? That things often can change really, really rapidly. And yeah, brilliant. Great. Okay. So few notices as well, just to remind you that if you want to connect with sort of other bits and pieces, get all the information and stuff that's going on, then if you're not on our mailing list already, it's admin@rolcc.org.uk. Just email in and we'll make sure you get on the mailing list so you get emails and stuff that's coming out. This evening, we're going to have a prayer time on Zoom. So if you're part of the River of Life Community Church, group, then you'll see the information on how you can join that. If you'd like to join the group, then just make a request on the group page, on the River of Life page, and you should be able to join that. And we'll pray this evening for so many of the things that are going on around us at the moment and for individuals. So we'll pray. So if you can be part of that this evening, that would be really, really great. And obviously as well, this week, as we'll think about in just a moment, is Easter week. And normally, as churches together in the town, we meet on Good Friday, we walk through the town, and we have an open-air service. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But what we are thinking and encouraging people to do is around about 3 o'clock on Friday. Well, at 3 o'clock on Friday, for you just to pause, no matter what you're doing, just to pause for a second, if possible, to look at a cross and reflect on the crucifixion at that particular time, Peter, who leads the Churches Together, the minister at the Methodist Church, has written, he's the chair of Churches Together at the moment. He's written a prayer that that we could all pray together at that particular moment, as a way of just recognizing our unity and our oneness before the cross on Friday. So we'll post that prayer out on Facebook during the week, and hopefully, you know, be able to sort of pray that with us. If you can't find the prayer or you're not able to get into that, at least maybe just pause at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon and just remember that your brothers and sisters across the town are stopping and reflecting on that. Great, okay, so this week, let's just read a word of scripture together, shall we, first? So I'm going to read to you from John chapter 12. Don't necessarily need to look it up. It's a very short passage that I'm going to read to you from. John chapter 12, verses 12 through to 15. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So this week is Easter week, isn't it? And so I thought perhaps we could sort of share some thoughts around that this morning. Obviously, for many of us, probably Easter week would be a week in which we share and remember the Easter and the crucifixion and the resurrection with others. But obviously this week we perhaps are going to have to do that in our own family groups, and or maybe even on our own. And I was thinking this week perhaps it'd be great to encourage you to just read the story leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection during this week from the account of Palm Sunday that we just read. It's an account that is in all four Gospels. And it's interesting that in Matthew, Mark and Luke that the writers seem to focus on the public ministry of Jesus during that week. And you may want to read one of those Gospels this week and from Palm Sunday on through to the crucifixion, the resurrection, and just reflect on some of the things that Jesus said in that last week of ministry in the public zone as he approached the crucifixion. In John's Gospel, rather than focusing on the public ministry, he focuses more on the private ministry in the last few days, in the last few hours almost, really before his arrest and then his subsequent crucifixion and resurrection. And I find that interesting that John takes it from a different angle and thinks about some of the things that Jesus said to his closest disciples. I'm going to read that this week. I'm going to read John's Gospel and reflect and try and just think about what it was that Jesus said to his closest disciples this week. So I might post a few reflections on Facebook, you know, I won't promise, but I might as I do that. And I'd encourage you, if you'd like to, during the course of this week, to post some of your reflections as you read the accounts of that last week in one of the Gospels. Just post a few little thoughts on there. It'd be really great to interact with you in that way and to hear from one another. It's as we think together that we truly arrive at the heart and the mind of God, isn't it? So let's try and do that this week, shall we? But today is part what's traditionally known as Palm Sunday, isn't it? It's the day in which we remember Jesus' last journey into Jerusalem. Jesus had taken that journey into Jerusalem many, many times. But on this occasion, he does it in a very obvious and loud way, if you like, really. And so I'd just like to share with you very, very briefly three reflections that might connect with us in this current season that we find ourselves on that last journey, that journey on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem. First thoughts really that I'd just like to think about is just the magnificent, you know, the amazing sort of drama of the event, really. If you was to compare between all four Gospels. You know, that's how we sort of get little snippets of different events in Jesus' life. We read right across all four Gospels and then we connect them together and think about. And each one sees it from a different angle. And it's interesting that, you know, if we read the four Gospels, one of the things that we see is that on that occasion, Jesus had just been sharing a meal with some of his closest friends, with a guy called Lazarus, who Jesus just previous to that had risen from the dead, you know. And so Jesus had been for a meal with him, and then after that, he asked his disciples to go and fetch a colt, a young male donkey that nobody had ever ridden, and he then sort of, they then cover that colt with their cloaks and a makeshift saddle, if you like, and he rides into Jerusalem on that. You know, there's lots of thoughts that people have around that whole sort of Jesus riding on a donkey that had never been tamed, and the donkey chooses to let him, you know, the Lord of creation again. And we could think some thoughts around that, but maybe that's for another day. But as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, it seems that the crowd hear him coming. That people have heard about what he's done, the miracles, you know. And the crowd got absolutely nuts. I'd have loved to have been there, you know. They get palm branches and they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And this great party on the streets of Jerusalem breaks out as Jesus rides in fulfillment of a prophecy that was given hundreds of years before by a prophet called Zechariah. Jesus rides into Jerusalem and the crowds go nuts. And in the middle of all that, we're told in one of the other Gospels that some of the religious leaders go to Jesus and say, "Rabbi." Interesting, all the crowds are calling him a king, you know, Son of David. But actually they bring it, the teacher. And they say, "Get control of your disciples. Stop them doing this. Stop them making all this noise and shouting these things." And I can't resist the sort of like sideways thought, really, that isn't it interesting that it was religious leaders that wanted to be the party poopers on that day. You know, religious leaders that wanted to say, "Calm it all down. Let's not get too excited." And Jesus' response is to say, "You know, guys, today, if I tried to tell them to be quiet, even the stones would cry out, you know." There is something about this moment, this amazing moment in human history, where Jesus is saying that you just could not stop the joy and the party that's going to take place on this day, because the King of Glory, the Lord of creation, is coming into Jerusalem towards what I believe is the pivotal moment in human history. For me, the crucifixion and the resurrection are the central pivots of human history around which everything else will revolve. They make sense of humanity, they make sense of God, they make sense of our response to God, you know. And Jesus is saying this moment, he'd come into Jerusalem many times incognito, but this moment, everybody is going to go nuts and celebrate. And just a thought that I'd like to just put towards you on that, off of those of thinking about the occasion, is that, you know, on that occasion, the Romans would have been looking on. The Roman, you know, Jerusalem was an occupied territory, and Roman soldiers and the Roman dignitaries would have been looking on, and, you know, that would have been quite risky for that crowd to break out and celebrate in the context. You know, by this time, the Roman Caesar, you know, Caesar was calling himself the Son of God, you know, was claiming divinity. And so for the crowds to be calling somebody else that would have been an issue for them. Equally alongside that, the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of the day had said that anybody that recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, the one that God was sending, would be put out of their synagogue. And so again, they were risking a lot to welcome this Jesus in such a way. And the thought, I guess, really, that I want to put to you is that there was, no matter what was going on, there was something about this connecting with Jesus. There was something about being in the presence of Jesus that could not curtail the joy that these people felt in connecting with him, even though it was a risky thing to do. Christians throughout the world and throughout history that are in contexts where they suffer persecution, somehow or another find that it is that inner joy that they find in a relationship with Jesus that sustains them, that keeps them going, that enables them to take all the risks that they take in their walk with God, because they found a joy. And so no matter what circumstance we find around us, it's an odd thing that somehow or another we can find joy as we connect with Jesus in any circumstance that we find ourselves. Second thought surrounds the idea that as he came into Jerusalem, they were putting down palm branches. They were declaring that a victory was taking place here. And the crowds were shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It was a way of saying that they were recognizing Jesus as a Messiah, as a king like King David of old. You see, they were looking in those days for a military and political king. They were expecting Jesus to raise an army and to overthrow the Romans and to re-establish Israel in a way that reflected the days of King David in old. And Jesus was going to disappoint them. He was going to come in as a king, but not a king like they expected. You see, they expected him to become a political and military leader. And sadly, we've often done that in history, in the church. We've often wanted to make Jesus or our faith a means by which we control society, or we've used the name of Jesus to justify military action, or we've used the name of Jesus to justify political ideologies. And yet, actually, on this occasion, Jesus was driving a bus through that sort of thinking and was saying he was coming in as a king who was going to be one who gave them inner peace, a peace with God, a peace that didn't start with conquering others, but a peace that started with conquering ourselves and who we are. You see, Jesus rode on a donkey. In those days, if a king came in as a conquering king, he would come in triumphant on a war horse, with slaves on tow behind, with the spoils of war obvious all around him. But if he wanted to come in declaring that he was coming in peace, he would ride on a donkey. And Jesus came in riding on a donkey, declaring, "I have come to give you peace, not a military peace, not a political peace, but a peace that has to do with conquering yourself and who you are, and a peace with God." Last thought. They shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us." You see, they probably wanted, "Save us from the Romans. Save us from this occupation that we see." But actually, again, that same thought we've just touched on before. Jesus was not going to save them in the way they thought. He was going to save them from themselves and the way of life that they adopted. You know, one of the New Testament writers, Paul, writes a few years later, he writes that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That the God's kingdom is a matter of peace, that inner peace that we find, a matter of joy, that we find joy in the Holy Spirit, in our relationship with God, and that we find a righteousness, a way of living that connects us with God and enables us to live differently, live a way that is productive and meaningful, that we find a way to be acceptable to God in that as well. And so when Jesus came in and they shouted, "Save us," he was going to respond to that, but not in the way they thought. You see, Palm Sunday tells us that Jesus reshapes our thinking. He offers us peace. He offers us joy, and he offers us a way of living and a way of connecting with God that might not be the way that we think it should be. You see, Jesus' way of connecting us with God was not to say you've got to live a brilliant life. His way of connecting with God was to say you've got to trust in what I do for you on the cross. You've got to trust what I do for you in death and in resurrection. And that's what we're going to remember later this week, that we find peace with God, we find joy in God, we find rightness with God in the crucifixion and in the resurrection of Jesus. So today you might be finding that you're needing a bit of joy. We all need that, don't we? Elsewhere in the Bible we're told that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and maybe you can find some of that strength Draw close to Jesus. Jesus said we find that joy if we stay close to him, the vine, the true vine, he calls himself. Connect with Jesus and you'll find some of that joy. Maybe today you feel you need peace, inner peace, peace with God. And you can have that, no matter what's happening around you. And maybe today you feel that you've never really found that connection with God, that sense of feeling that God's accepted you and that you've accepted God. And this week, this Easter week, let me encourage you to find that. To find that sense of connection with God that opens up a whole new possibility for life. Millions have found that. Many of you listening here have found that. And I would love that each one of us could share in that. Let's pray just for a second, shall we, together. Lord, I pray for each one of us today. Lord, I know for many of us who are in different circumstances today, different things going on around us. But thank you, God, that as we reflect on Easter, Lord, that we can discover something that is beyond our natural expectation. Lord, thank you that, Lord, like those early disciples in Jerusalem, we can discover joy, we can discover peace, and we can discover that relationship with you. And as we're praying together, as we're in an attitude of prayer this morning, if any of you feel that you just need to find that reconnection with God, or you need to find that connection with God for the first time, you desperately want this peace, you want this strength that you see in other Christians that you know, let me just ask you, as we're in an attitude of prayer, just for a moment, just cry out to God where you are and say, God, I want to find you. I want to reconnect with you, or I want to find you for the first time. And ask that this God of heaven, this Jesus, will step into your life right now. Let's just give those folks that want to pray those prayers in the quietness of their own home just a few moments of silence, shall we, in space. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. If you have, you know, for the first time said that you want Jesus in your life, when we finish this time, phone a Christian, or if you've got somebody that's with you that's a Christian, talk to them and just ask them to really unpack that for you and help you to really know what that means to walk with Jesus. Okay, I'd like to pray for one or two other things now as well this morning, for many of the obvious things around us. Would like particularly as well that we pray for Bet. Many of you, I guess those of you that are part of the River of Life Community Church's family will probably have heard this week that last weekend Vic Newson sadly went to be with the Lord. You know that he'd been ill for some time and had been struggling with his health for quite some time. And last weekend he went to be with the Lord and so it would be good if we could just pray for Bet and the family. That funeral arrangements are being made, and I'm not sure whether we'll be able to live stream into that, but obviously in this season they are very restricted in terms of numbers that can be made, so we can just pray for them as a family as well. We'll give some thanks to Vic for Vic's life as well. So if that's okay with you, let's just join with me now and just praying for our nation and for one another just for a few moments, and then after that we'll break bread together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Firstly, Lord, we thank you for Vic, Lord, and for the great blessing that he was to our fellowship and to our church, Lord. Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, for you to now, Lord, just be there for his family, in particular for Bet, Lord, and for her family, Lord. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, for you to give them peace and strength and to be with them, Lord, at this difficult time, God. Lord, we pray that you will guide them with all the arrangements that they need to make, Lord, and that they'll know that you're with them, Lord. Lord, we also just want to pray, Lord, for our nation at this time, Lord. We want to pray, Lord Jesus, for a sense of your peace and protection and healing and life, Lord, for all those that need it, God. Lord, we think of those at the moment that are struggling with the virus, Lord, or with symptoms of the virus, Lord. And Lord, we pray, God, for your health and wholeness to come to them. In particular, Lord, those that are have a severity that means that they are in hospital. Lord, we pray, God, for your protection for them, Lord. And God, again, for your healing in their lives. Lord, we pray for those that have lost, sadly lost loved ones, Lord, in this last week, Father. And in particular, Lord, we pray, God, for you to be with them, God, and to comfort them and strengthen them and bless them, God, and to be their source at this time. Lord, we pray for those that lead us at this time, Lord. We pray for Boris Johnson, Lord. We pray for you to help him to recover to health quickly, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the government, Lord, and those that advise them, Lord, to just have wisdom, Father God, to know how to lead us through this current situation. We pray, Lord, for testing equipment, Lord, and for protection equipment, Lord, to be provided really, really quickly, Father. And Lord, we pray for those that are on the front line of this, Lord, the key workers, God, and health work, in particular health workers. We pray for your protection over their lives, Lord, and for you to give them energy and strength, God. And we pray, Lord, too, for those around the world that live in situations where they experience poverty in its worst forms. And Lord, as the virus is touching those nations, Lord, we pray for your protection upon the world's poorest, God. And we pray, Lord, that in this global village that we live, that, Lord, that we would find solutions that enable there to be some distribution of resources and assistance in every form, God. And we pray, Lord, for those who take decisions at governmental levels that distribute resources. We pray, Lord, that we would truly be a global village, a community of people who share their resources in a way that enables those, God, in the worst circumstances. So guide us, we pray, and be with us, Lord, we pray, in this season. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you have given to so many, Lord. And Lord, we pray for that to continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please feel free to post your own prayers as well, won't you, on the feed, and we can pray those over after we finish. And you know, it's great to just be able to pray the things that we have on our hearts together, isn't it? So we're going to just finish now with breaking bread together or sharing communion. It's been great to get some feedback from a number of you this week saying how you have valued this, how you value us being able to share communion together. If you're not used to sharing communion, basically we do this really as a way of remembering what Jesus did for us on that first Easter. Jesus instituted, if you like, this communion in what's called the Last Supper, the last meal that he shared with his closest followers, his closest friends. And for me, that is really significant. You know, as people shared the meal, particularly in those days, they would usually had bread and wine on the table. And it seems to me that what Jesus did was he took something that was part of their everyday life, something that they would do every day as part of their rhythm of life, and used those emblems, those objects of the meal as a way of saying, look, you know, you eat every day. Remember me every day. and as part of your meals together, remember me. You know, they didn't have photography in those days that you could take a picture of Jesus and remind themselves. And maybe it's akin to that. You know, as I look around my study here, I have a number of pictures, particularly of, you know, of my family, of my children, and my wife and my grandchild, and you know, and as I look at those pictures, I look around. You know, I don't just look at them and think, well, that's a lovely picture. As I look at the picture, suddenly emotions are generated in me, memories are generated in my, and I look at them and I think about why I love them and why I respect them and why I care for them. You know, the photo invokes something in me that is more than just that's a lovely picture. And I think the bread and wine is meant to do that for us. That as we break bread, we don't just break the bread and think, you know, this is a nice thing to do. We break the bread and we think, the body of Christ, Jesus' body, was broken for me. He suffered so that I don't have to suffer at a certain level. He suffered so that I could find peace with God. And as I drink the juice or the wine, I remember that Jesus' blood bought a covenant for me. It bought a in a context where they were used to animal sacrifices and things, Jesus brought that to a close by saying that, you know, his blood would be sufficient to make peace with God for us. And so as we drink that juice or that wine, we're remembering that. So let's do that together now, shall we? We're going to break bread together and we're going to remember that the body of Christ was broken for us. The blood of Christ has enabled us to find a covenant with God, an eternal covenant. Just going to give you a few moments to reflect on those thoughts, to think about why you would want to thank God for his broken, thank Jesus for his broken body, and why you would want to thank him for his shed blood. Let's just take a few moments of reflection, shall we? So let's take the bread, shall we? Remember the body of Christ, which was broken for us. And let's drink the juice or the wine. And remember and celebrate or remind ourselves of the shed blood of Christ for us. So we thank you once again, Lord Jesus, for your life that was given for us. And Lord, we thank you that we are able to join in that life. And so Lord, as we celebrate and remember and reflect and think about that first Easter, this Easter week, I pray, Lord, that you would touch each one of our lives, Lord, in different ways. That, Lord, you would help us to grow a little bit deeper in our friendship and our relationship with you and grow a bit stronger in our ability to serve you and to serve others. So be with each one of us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Well, Lord bless you. I trust you have a really blessed week this week, that God will be with you in whatever situation you find yourself. Remind you that next Sunday we'll meet again to celebrate the resurrection, probably the greatest day in human history, when Jesus overcame all the power of death itself to bring life to all those that will follow him. So the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week and great to be with you again. The Lord bless you.